Oh yes, some sultry Brazilian music taking us right up to Brewocracy Now with Tim Quackenbush and John Morrow, co-hosts of Brewocracy Now. Every Thursday on KPTZ, we're joined by a whole host of people today. Hi, John.
Hi, Tim. How are you?
Very good, John. Thank you so much for being here and putting this together. I will let you explain what's going on with this version of Brewocracy Now, all things Port Townsend. I'll throw it right to you, John.
Well, thanks, Tim. It's great to be with you as always. And hi, everybody. I'm joined with a cast of characters here. So as we pre-advertised, we are going to be talking a little bit about the event next week, which is a public electronic town hall that focuses on the Sims Gateway Project and Boatyard expansion. And if you're a fan of local media, you will know that this is something that's been in the public eye for a little while. And it's an ever-changing and ever-evolving project that has a lot of moving parts. And I think a lot of community opinions about it. And so the best thing to do is to get it out there and discuss it. And I think in the words of our mayor often, and I think even this week at City Council, like, make sure that we get the right information out that we can at least have the same level playing field in terms of what the project is about. So the main purpose of this is to inform in brief detail from each agency what each of the moving parts are, and then tee up a conversation that is a much more engaging and more of an exchange with the opportunity for feedback and ideas on November 9th. I will also give a huge thanks again to KPTZ for doing the live broadcast. If you want to listen from the comfort of your own home, you could just turn on the radio, 91.9 at 5 p.m. on Tuesday the 9th. You could also Zoom in, so you can click the button on the city website. You could see a flyer that we put out, and you can get it on cityofpt.us/engage, and it's on Engage PT. So many ways to participate and to know about the event next week. But I'm here with the executive director of the port, Aaron Berg, the general manager of the PUD, Kevin Street, the county administrator of Jefferson County, Mark McCauley, and the public works director of the city, Steve King, to talk a little bit about the project. And so instead of me continuing to talk about it, yes, it has to do with some poplars, and a whole lot more. Maybe I'll kick it off to one of these guys to just kind of give some of the rationale from their agency's perspective about why this is an important project. I'm looking at you, Aaron, because I'm particularly pleased by the recent PIF board decision to allocate $1 million to support this project, which effectively matches each agency's commitment. And Aaron and the port were the primary applicant for that public infrastructure fund application. So Aaron, do you want to talk a little bit about the boatyard?
We're happy to do that. So, you know, this project was really born out of an idea following an incident. And so late this summer, we had an employee report a tingling sensation in the boatyard. With that information, we reached out to the PUD to say, hey, we've got this employee who's reported a tingling sensation of the boatyard. PUD takes these issues seriously, and I know Kevin will want to talk about that. But as a result of their investigation, even just their visual inspection of the 115,000 volt lines that run between the boatyard and Sims Way, immediately identified burn marks on the poplars pretty much along the entire alignment. And that really gave rise to the question of how can we safely operate the utility in proximity to the poplars? And with the understanding that it's really not possible to maintain the safety difference between the poplars and the power lines, and the poplars either would be trimmed to the point where they are no longer recognizable and likely could die or would need to be removed, our imagination turned to, well, what's next? And a lot of people don't realize this, but the port's property actually extends 25 feet closer to Sims Way than the current fence line. And from the port standpoint, eliminating the hazard, creating reliable power, and then also the ability to add to the boatyard became a very interesting project. with the additional space available for us along the Sims Way alignment, potentially expanding the service of boats from about a 40-foot length up to a 65-foot length vessel in that vicinity. Now, since that time, we have come to understand, well, I mean, I'll just share with everybody, we had a very close call in the boatyard where we had a contact between a sailboat and a 75-ton lift and the 115,000-volt lines. And for a thousand reasons that went well that day and a whole lot of good fortune, everybody walked away from the incident. But in the process now of investigating that, it's come to light that we're really required to have not the 10-foot operating distance that the port has managed with those power lines for as long as anybody here can remember, but a 30-foot distance. And that 30-foot setback now, if implemented in the existing configuration, would jeopardize utility of that entire row of boats along Sims Way, which represents about 30 vessels, or about 25% of the 75-ton boatyard. So, you know, this project is important to the port for three reasons. First and foremost, the safety of the port staff and tenants and marine trades members who are working in proximity to the lines. Secondly, the imagination that we could have a little bit more yard space to serve vessels and create jobs. And then now most recently, defensively, to ensure we don't lose the use of a portion of the boatyard.
Thank you, Aaron. So I just want to get a confirmation from the man who leads the PUD, and maybe from your perspective, Kevin, what you see there. And you know, I've heard a lot of comments publicly of people saying, well, why can't you underground and keep the trees as they are? Because let's not, you know, mince words here. They're beautiful, they're lovely, and especially this time of year, they're pretty impressive trees. So understandably, our community cares about this amazing natural asset. What's the PUD's perspective on undergrounding and saving the trees?
So first off, I'd like to say the PUD's response here was a safety call. We were called in because there were questions asked. And once the questions asked and brought to the PUD's attention, we have to act. We have a responsibility to the public, to our customers, to make sure the public and PUD is safe. So that's a primary driver. There was some discussion of, well, could you underground and keep the trees in? I don't know if people remember, but approximately 4 years ago, we did do some undergrounding in this area. And at the time, five trees almost died. This was a shallow trench. This was a much different type trenching, but it would be in about the same location. We'd have to trench for the new high voltage line. So that said, we don't believe the trees would survive us digging from Safeway Gas to Safeway Store, and the trees being the roots tore up and as deep as we would have to go would actually survive. Again, now I'm going to go back to some safety and some liability. Once we put this trench through there, then the trees do become unstable and the PUD is liable because we've ran a trench down the whole length of the distance. So it just doesn't make sense that we could safely keep the older trees and do our trenching that's required to get the transmission line underground. So, you know, I am going to say with these trees, the age they are and where they're at in their lives, it is just time to work together. The four entities are going to make sure the project turns out great for the community. And it'll be some of the conceptual stuff we've talked about. It will be a much more pedestrian friendly. It will be just a better, safer, more reliable entrance into Port Townsend.
So. Thanks, Kevin. So that brings us a really great segue into possibly the city's direct involvement. And then I want to make sure also that Mark McCauley at the county, there's a bit of a hero move that the county is playing as part of this as well that just happened this week. So I'm going to, I could talk about the city, but I am not our public works director, and Steve holds quite a lot of knowledge about the process as the main conduit staff liaison to the Parks, Recreation, Tree and Trails Advisory Board amongst his other duties. So Steve, can you kind of bring us up to the play with where we are specifically talking about the canopy in those trees?
Yeah, happy to do that, John. When this came up, you know, Kevin, Aaron, and I met out there in the field, and we were looking at the burn marks on the trees, and the it was almost overwhelming. It was like, what are we going to do here? This is such an important asset to the community, and yet this is such a massive safety issue. And so whenever we have something like this, the first thing we do is go back and look at any plans or any past research that has been done to build upon what the community has already said they wanted. And in that process, working with the Parks and Tree Trail Advisory Board, we were able to learn quite a bit. So, information that's really important and germane to this topic. And some of the key points come out of the Gateway Plan, also some work around the Katai, and you know, some of the expectations in on the Katai side, and in terms of how important the boatyard is to the entry along with the trees. So our parks board was very good about coming forward and saying, you know, we really need to address this. We really need to take the lumps. We know the community is going to be very concerned about this and have a lot of input. But the right thing to do is to look at an alternative to the poplars. And so there's a number of reasons why opening up more visibility into Katai, allowing the growth of the native vegetation, native trees that are planted on the Katai side. And if you look kind of behind the poplars, you'll see them when you drive by. You can see the fir trees, the shore pines there along Katai. And then on the boatyard side, you know, the Gateway Plan included pedestrian, bicycle access, recognition of the boatyard, openings to be able to see the boatyard as a key indicator of our maritime community. And you know, the Gateway Plan does talk about replacement with poplars, but that was in 1993, and we learn a lot over time. And now we are taking into account carbon sequestration, the longevity of trees, you know, monoculture versus a variety of trees for health. And so the Parks Board came out with some recommendations. And as we go forward, we plan on engaging the public to talk about what this gateway looks like, talk about the tree varieties, gather public input, and work that through the Parks Board.
And thanks, Steve. And so one way you can do that is join KPTZ right here next Tuesday, November 9th from 5 to 6 p.m. Thank you to Tim and the gang at KPTZ for that. But if I could shift also over to Mark McCauley, because this week there was a decision made. I've heard the criticism that the city's spending $2 million on a project that we should be putting toward our streets instead. I mean, you know, one comment. Can you help us understand how the funding comes together here and why the county's at the table?
Yeah, thank you, John. I just want to commend you three chief executives for coming together on this project. And I was delighted with the results of the PIF board meeting on Tuesday, where the members unanimously voted to recommend to our board of county commissioners that this project be funded. So the source of funding comes from a 0.09% sales tax that is remitted from the state, 6.5% share of the sales tax that we collect locally. And then they return that to the county because we're a distressed rural county. And that 0.09% goes into our public infrastructure fund, and it's designed to fund projects that on public facilities that promote economic development. And that's what this project does. It expands the boatyard, I think, Aaron, you said by what, 5% or so? And so it will it'll allow an expansion of the marine trades. It'll remove a barrier to the hydraulic cranes moving about so that the port can pack more boats into the new space. And so I think this is a textbook example of the Public Infrastructure Fund and and what the intent of the legislature was when they passed this remittance back to counties such as ours. So back in 2019, we had six different projects submitted by the city, the port, the PUD, the county, and the Fort Worden PDA. This go around, however, we only had two projects, and that's because the city, the port, and the PUD collaborated on this one. And the PUD has a $150,000 grant that they've not quite yet taken advantage of. And we also funded a complete streets project down in Quilcene to help improve pedestrian safety and traffic flow down there. So that's a brief history lesson on the Public Infrastructure Fund. I hope I didn't bore anybody with that.
Oh, it's good, Mark. I think part of the mystery here is, you know, how things are funded is always a bit of an enigma. Even just for one agency, but to think of all of us coming together and then how we're effectively being refunded some of our share of sales tax locally, that would normally go into the state coffers and may not touch a single piece of Jefferson County. But the fact that working together, we can compellingly make the case to claw back some of that money locally and to do so as agencies, not in competition for those dollars, but actually I think growing, the whole being greater than the sum of the parts here. So I appreciate the county's involvement as well here as we think about how to effectively make lemonade out of lemons. I mean, it's that kind of situation. So Tim, I want to recognize we're on KPTZ. Tim, we're here with Tim Quackenbush and John Morrow. Tim, you've been unusually quiet. And so thanks for giving us some space to kind of talk about the project. What comes to your mind? What have you heard? And, what might you have for us for things to think about as we take this forward?
Well, I have been quiet because of the group that we have here. You guys are so, you're all guys and intimately involved with this issue. And there's been so much happened in Port Townsend and in the county in the past week. And in some ways, they're literally and figuratively overshadowed by these tall poplar trees. These are trees that make a statement as you drive into town. And I totally understand the engagement of the public in this. And frankly, I'm glad to see, I see what we're doing here today as an entree into what's happening on November 9th, where all of these opinions will be gathered and there'll be the opportunity to make your opinions known to you five people who are inherently thick-skinned, I think, and being in the positions of responsibility that you are in. So we are not a shy community when it comes to that. And I do appreciate that this has been put together to really air this out because we speak about finances. We speak about, I think it was Aaron that said, and this is the first time I heard this, an employee reported a tingling feeling. That's ominous. That's something that needs to be known when we consider all aspects of this project. I don't think that anybody wants to cut trees down. But my question is, given that the Parks and Recreation Committee did recommend this and that there have been studies in the past, how large does liability loom in the decision-making process here?
That's a great question, Tim. And I think if anything, Kevin's response earlier is gold because, Kevin being the diplomatic leader he is, if I could try to spell it out in maybe much coarser words, if there was intervention, and Kevin, I need to make sure I'm on path here. If there was intervention by any agency, especially the PUD as the keeper of that high transmission line, if there was anything done that destabilized the trees and there was any accident caused by a falling tree against a boat, a person, a car, a pedestrian, anything, that's on the PUD. So I think you're quite tactful about saying, we own the liability, but, we're talking about something that currently would be considered an act of God that now the PUD has to deal with the legal implications. Is that about the right track there, Kevin?
Yes, the PUD has a legal responsibility for the trees at this point. And that's the beauty of us working together, because if we don't work together, then it becomes an agency against an agency, where we pretty much send a letter to the city and say, hey, this needs to happen and it's not happening, so we are going to put the liability on the city. And the city doesn't want that any more than the PUD does. And then the port gets involved. It's a vicious circle, but actually, as a community, we're all involved in the liability. It doesn't cost the PUD per se. It costs every electrical customer on our system. It doesn't cost the city. It costs everyone in the city. So there are some issues that drive this in a little different discussion as far as the PUD is concerned.
Hey, that's so well put. Go ahead, Aaron. Sorry.
Well, I was going to say, and you know, at least from the, I think, the port perspective, you know, liability is often discussed, but I never like to lose sight of what we're really talking about is preventing actual harm. And I feel like oftentimes you hear government talking about this amorphous liability as if it's dollars. And what we're really talking about is ensuring that nobody is hurt, that people and property are safe. And in this particular case, actual knowledge is highly problematic. And actual knowledge is our employee reporting to management tingling that gets reported to the electrical utility operator, who says, I better come down and take a look. And then you see the burn marks all along the alignment. And so, and the poplars are complex. I mean, the history that I have is that they, you know, were planted by the Chamber of Commerce and a group of volunteers following the boatyard expansion in the early 60s, primarily on port property, ostensibly as street trees, and in conflict with power lines. So we're all at the table. And most importantly, we're all at the table trying to imagine what comes next. And I think when we think about what's going to happen at the town hall, I think there are a lot of people in the community who are still at step one, which is, are the poplars really a problem? You know, this group has moved to the next phase, which is, you know, what do the solutions look like? What are the opportunities? And it will be important, I think, for us to be able to articulate how we moved past the first question, which is, how can they be a problem? They've been there, you know, in one form or another since the 30s. They survive storms every time it blows. Why is this a problem today? And I do think we've got information to share, you know, really related to electrical safety and setbacks that is different than maybe what has happened in the past.
It's a really good way to frame it, Aaron. I do realize, Tim, that we are running a bit out of time here, but I will say that framing up next Tuesday as a positive step forward with anybody listening who wants to participate, I think we do need to recognize that but while we might have moved on, it's entirely okay that some of the community hasn't moved on, but the decision making has. So the town hall event is not meant to discuss whether or not these poplars should come down and be replaced. That's actually in the past, and every governing body, except for the county who wasn't, you know, party to this directly, except for funding, has already made that determination. So if you're wanting to come to join the conversation on the 9th, you know, that's a place where we're not going to spend any time, because that's already been a decision that's made. Now, to Aaron's point, what the future looks like, not just say, I mean, I'll even go one further than liability and, you know, keeping people safe. What could this be if it was truly fantastic? That's the opportunity at hand. And there'll be different opinions and beliefs about what it can and should look like. But the engagement on the 9th is ostensibly to find a way to gather ideas and momentum and enthusiasm for a gateway that's truly excellent.
And I do think there's plenty of enthusiasm out there. That's the feeling I get. And I'm so glad that you said that, John Morrow, because it clears up what may have been a misconception about the town hall. KPTZ is really proud to be able to air this. That's really a part of our duty as a community radio station. But for you to say that this decision has been made, I'm sure that it hasn't been made without a lot of deliberation on all of your parts. I go back to, we plant trees for the next generation. Will there, during this forum, be any chance for people to chime in on what that might be? What type of tree would provide some type of statement as you enter into that gateway, or has that decision been made?
I'll pitch that to Steve because he's right there in the roots of that one.
That decisions have not been made about the type of trees, the configuration of the planting. Parks Board has thrown out some ideas to get the ball rolling, kind of some value sets. And so we want to hear more about the value sets. We want to hear about the types of trees that people are interested in seeing. And all that information we take in and roll into the process of decision making. And that's going to be a multi-step process. This isn't going to be a one and done. We'll work through the Parks Board to come to a good outcome, and recognizing that there's going to be some folks that are not satisfied with that decision. But the idea is to get as many diverse perspectives on the table as possible so that we get to the best outcome.
Well, we're out of time on Bureaucracy Now. I want to thank all of you for being here. And it's so nice to have the company. Five people on the screen at one time. I love it. Thank you so much. And thank you for the work that you've done and continue to do. Mr. Thanks, Morrow, Tim. We will see you next Thursday.
I'll see you next Thursday. Might actually be in the studio, if I'm not mistaken. So next? Hope to see you then.
That's going to be so fun. We'll actually have coffee. I'll brew some before you get here. Thank you so much, everybody. Bureaucracy Now, KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend.